Well, welcome everyone again. We are going to return today to this idea of relationships and talk about relationships and the importance of those relationships. And today to a principle or an idea that we have come to call accountability. And that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And hopefully we'll give you a framework, what I believe is a helpful and fruitful way to pursue accountability as a Christian. You remember last week we were created for relationships. It's not good that man should be alone. And we talked about that we need companionship. We're made for relationships. We are made to relate to one another and relate to God and to have a relationship. The church, of course, is a relationship in Christ, and we are made for those kinds of relationships. And in the deepening of those, as we'll talk about today, is in accountability. We talked about the importance of good friends last week as well, and I gave a few principles on how to choose good friends. And I just think these are good to note in your mind, internalize these and use them. A good friend, and these principles are critically important as you think about accountability, because if you do feel like you need this in your life and you move to that, seeking for someone to be like an accountability partner, we call it, you want them to be a good friend and not just a random person. Hey, I want an accountability partner, I'll go grab somebody. Well, you need to be really careful about it, because you really open yourself up. You open your life up really to another person. Make sure they love God. Make sure they love you. Make sure that they are actually willing to help you. That they are trustworthy. That's a huge one, isn't it? Most of us here probably have shared some confidence with someone sometime in our life, and they've not kept it confidential. That's very harmful. If someone's not trustworthy, you certainly shouldn't count them as a close friend and share things with them. They're dependable, or in my notes I wrote, they stick around when it gets hard. Life is going to get hard, and you have fair weather friends, and then you have those that really stick around. They're there. They're there for you when it gets hard, and that part of that even goes to the mutual relationship. Many people will be your friend when they can get something from you, but when you need something from them, they're not there for you. Well, that's not really a good friend. A good friend leans on you and then lets you lean into them when you need to. And there's that give and take, and there's that two sides of the relationship of a good friend. And it's the same way with an accountability friend. Ask some questions. When you're choosing good friends, are they a believer? Do they know the Lord as Savior? Make sure you avoid sinfully angry people. Not just in the generic sense, but some people have a characteristic of life that they're just a sinfully angry person, and just you need to avoid them. Avoid the wicked. Avoid the wicked. They will influence you away from the Lord. That's a very important principle in our culture today, and something I think people are confused about or don't think deeply enough about. See, when you make your friends, you like to be accepted. You want to be part of the group. And then you end up running with someone who's not influencing you towards Christ. That's a dangerous thing to do. That's a dangerous thing, a place to find yourself. And you really should look for friends that are influencing you towards Christ. Don't make close friendships with the wicked, because they will lead you astray. And the question I asked us to ask ourselves is, who's influencing who in these kinds of relationships? If you have friends that are not believers, or if they're doing wicked things, are you influencing them, or are they influencing you? And avoid a gossip. That's another one. Sometimes our culture is a culture of gossip, but sometimes people who are gossips are easy to make friends with, because they're looking for a following. They're looking for a group of people that they can share things with and hear more gossip about. And so it's easy to get sucked into those relationships. So watch out for the warning signs. And understand this: if someone is gossiping about someone else in your life, it's likely that they're gossiping about you as well. And so that's just not a person that's going to be a good friend, someone to be a good close friend. So choose your friends wisely. Be friendly. Learn to be friendly. That's something I've had to work on a lot in my life. Be friendly and open to friendships. Just let God use God use you and help other people. And it's a really rich, you know, like we said over the last couple of weeks, it's scary to make close friends, but it's also very rich. And everything in life is like that, isn't it? Anything that's worth something has a cost associated with it. And nothing, very few things that have zero cost are really worth pursuing. There are some things, but very few things, I'm talking in the material world, there's very few things that you just should go after that just doesn't cost you nothing. So things that cost are usually have a value associated with them, and friendship is the same way. Yeah, it's risky, it's scary, people are messy, you're messy, but it's worthwhile, and there's a wonderful reward in having a good friend. We're going to talk again, like I said, about accountability. I call it friendship with a purpose. Friendship with a purpose, so your friendship kind of goes to the next level. But let's pray together and ask the Lord to direct us. God, again, thank you so much for your grace and for giving us this opportunity to think on friendship, to have some time to look into your word together, think through some of these principles, and to be able to discuss this idea of accountability. And we know we're all accountable to one another, we're accountable to you, but putting that into practice in a practical way, not all of us do that. And so pray you'd guide our study this morning and bless our time together in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Accountability. What is accountability? What would an accountability partner look like? Do you need it? I would define what we're talking about today in accountability as a deeper involvement in a friend's life, a deeper relationship in Christ with the purpose to grow together. In other words, the goal is growth. The goal is mutual edification, to help each other to be more like Christ together, and really to keep one another on track. It's a proactive help. If you think about this, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. And the idea in this verse is not necessarily like we may think of iron sharpening iron, but just a mutual sharpening. You get two chunks, two blades, two pieces of iron, and you just use it to sharpen. Iron sharpens iron, sharpening one another and helping each other stay sharp proactively. And of course, the help goes both ways. A few things that accountable, what we're calling accountability, or what an accountability relationship would be, a few things it's not. And these are some things that I think these are some confusion points that people have had in my experience anyway. Accountability is not shallow or casual. It's not a casual friendship or a shallow friendship. It's not just getting together to talk. Now, that's okay. A casual friendship is okay. You should actually have many casual friends, right? You'll have friends that are the wicked even, right? But they're casual friends. They're not your real friends. So you should have those. It's good to get together with people in Christ and talk. This is a good thing, right? But again, that's just not an accountability relationship. It's not a gripe or gossip session. That one made the list for a reason. Many times people will call something an accountability relationship, and all they do is get together and they gripe about their spouse or their work, or even to gossip. I've seen that, unfortunately. And so, well, it's an accountability, so I can go and talk about, you know, my spouse or whoever, and it just turns into a gossip session. That's not an accountability relationship. And it is less of a meeting than it is a deeper relationship in Christ. So don't let your mind think that this is some kind of accountability is a ministry of the church, or accountability is the meeting that I have once a week or once a month or whatever. It's not that. It's about the relationship. It is this deeper relationship where you connect and you help each other and you point each other towards Christ. And as we said, we do need each other. And just from review, lone rangers are bound to fall. I think that's the idea here. Two are better than one. They'll have a good reward for their toil if they fall, right? When you have problems, you need someone there to lift you up. And then again, in the body, we are one. We are one. We're interdependent. And so a neglected part of the body will wither, and you cut off blood to a limb, it dies. So what the goal then of an accountability relationship is, when the Galatians 6 happens to you, right? You stray, you err, you follow, something happens to you. You've already got someone in your life that loves you enough to say, okay, let's have a talk. Let's sit down. Let's find out what's going on. Let's work through this. Hey, have you thought about this, brother or sister, and work on it. And the oneness that we do share from Ephesians 4 should drive us together, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. So it should drive us together to form these types of relationships. Because we are one, we should become more and more one. And in the verse I referenced in Galatians, if anyone falls, and again, this speaks of mutual accountability. Let me read it. Let me read the text and just think through this with me. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Okay, so this is, you've got this friend, this closer friend, and they get caught. That happens, doesn't it? I mean, we're all bound to that. And hear this, we tend to, I just think so, I just see it. We tend to think of these Christian stumblings as the big one. The person tried to cheat on their spouse, or they, you know, blew a whole bunch of money or gambled or fell into a substance abuse or something. That's not the case. When anyone gets caught in any transgression, do you see that? Normal life is much more likely to trip you up than the big one, right? You're much more likely to blow up on your spouse at home, right? Or to get sinfully angry with your children. You're much more likely to not do a good job at work or to lie or something like that than you are to see one of those big ones. So this is what he's talking about here, in any transgression. So when something happens to you, it's bound to happen to us at times. You who are spiritual, so the spiritual thinking person in your life should restore you in a spirit of gentleness. Now what's on the other side of the coin? Keep watch on yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, it goes both ways. There's going to be a time when you're going to need to be there for someone in Christ, and there's going to be a time when they're going to need to be there for you. Mutual restoration and help. Consider yourself. Oh yeah, the burden. Picture of a burden. Feels like that sometimes. The sad truth of life is that we can and we will get off track. Our minds are not always fixed on Christ. We're not always doing the right thing. And over periods of time, especially, you can get going in the wrong direction. You probably know a believer who has drifted. It's very likely, I would say, that you know a believer that has drifted, that they're not living the life that they know they should live. They're not following Christ. You probably know those people. Maybe someone you know has rejected Christ. They followed Christ. They seem to be following Christ. But then all of a sudden now they say they don't even believe in Christ. And maybe you know someone whose life is a mess right now. Maybe a Christian whose life is a mess. They're not alone. And there are many examples of this throughout the scriptures, and I'm going to read a few for us here. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Wonderful goal, amen. Now notice this. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion. Their life is not right. They're not following Christ well. In fact, they're teaching wrong things. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to confront these people. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Boy, if you don't know someone in America whose life is off track because of the love of money, you're probably the only one. We all do, don't we? We all know someone that has made money too important and in whatever way. Now notice this. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. You see, people, these are people, they've wandered away. So they were in the church, right? They claimed to know the Lord. They were at least looking like they followed Christ. And now they're not. They've wandered away. They pierced themselves through with many pains. One of the sad privileges of being involved in counseling ministry is to see these kind of things played out in human lives all the time, where people wander away from the truth and it hurts. It hurts everyone around them, but it really hurts themselves to a very high degree. Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble, contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have swerved from the faith. So they got They were in the church. They got to hearing some very interesting philosophies, and it sounded good, so they ran with it and started to teach it. What happened? They're not following Christ anymore. Isn't that interesting? And these people see, Paul is telling Timothy, you need to correct these people. They need help. They need moved in the right direction again. Avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are... Now, it's pretty cool to have your name in the Bible, isn't it? It's one of the great privileges of life. There are few people who have their name in the Bible. These two, it's not a good thing. Think about how sad this is. Their name is in the Scriptures as a negative example. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth. They've swerved from it. They're not on the straight path anymore. They're off to the side. They're doing something else. And notice they taught false doctrine, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They're upsetting the faith of some. Terrible. We get off track. Don't you see that language of you're off track? That's probably where this language comes from. We're going the right way. We're following Christ and swerved. Now where are you going? Now you know there's only one way, right? God hasn't given us this mini vectored way to know him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. Follow me. I gotta give you my word. Follow my word. That's the only one. And when you swerve, see, Christ is here, you're swerved over here. You need someone to correct you, get you back on the correct path. The Israelites, of course, very easy to find references of the Israelites getting off track. But the Levites who went far from me, going astray from me after their idols, when Israel went astray, shall bear their punishment. They got off track. They strayed all the time, in fact. So God gave each other in this ministry of accountability. Now, In one sense, we are all accountable to one another. We're all accountable to God. That's part of life in Christ. It just is. And that's, some of us take that ministry very seriously. If we see you swerving, you know, if there was a Hymenaeus and a Philetus, I would, of course, talk to them. And hopefully you would as well. But what we're talking about today is a deeper form of relationship where you've already, and I want you to understand and consider how rich this is, you've already formed a relationship with this person that you love and trust, so that when you have a bad time in your life, they're comfortable to come to you. It's just not out of the blue. In fact, you've grown to the point where you really know that they're going to talk to you. You know, I've had many people say that, you know, I've been waiting. I knew you were going to come and talk to me at some point. And that's what we're talking about here, is just more of a specific type of accountability. And I love this verse where God has given us each other in the church for these kind of accountability relationships. Consider one another. I won't read the word here, but it's the Greek word means to look at, behold, or examine. I need that scripture back up there too, though, first. Consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing. So to consider, to look closely, to examine, like under a magnifying glass, just to keep an eye on each other or to keep an eye out for each other. Stir one another up. Encouraging in this verse, but encourage one another. I believe it, the New King James says to stir one another up. The King James uses the word provoke. And all of those really go together to give us a good understanding of what he's saying. What he's saying is to take it serious and shake each other up. Just serious involvement to the point of contention even. Enticement. Invasive encouragement, like a kick in the pants. We used to say that. You need a kick in the pants. And that's kind of what he's talking about here. And I have this picture of orange juice. I doubt you can see that well. Nah. But the next one is a little bit better. And just up there for reference, because you already know what this is like. You go and you get up in the morning, and let's say the green-looking one, which I'm not sure I would drink a green-looking thing like that anyway, but you go to get the orange juice out. Are you going to drink that? No chance, right? You shake it up. It needs mixed up. That's the idea there as Christians. Sometimes you just need shaking up. We got settled. We become settled, and it's not good. We need stirred up. Stir one another up. Provoke one another. And, of course, the goal is to cause love and good works. And notice, not neglecting to meet one another as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another. And so, as you see the day approaching, and so this really fits well, this kind of accountability relationship where you're looking closely at each other, you're watching out for each other, you're trying to stir each other to love and good works. And it comes in many forms, and we'll talk about that, what that means, stirring one another to love and good works. But meeting together regularly, right? Seeing each other. If you're going to have an accountability partner, it's probably not going to be a once-a-year relationship. It's just not going to be much accountability. How did your year go? Right? You know, it's been a year. Wow. Well, that's probably not an accountability relationship. And as you see the day drawing near, you're encouraging each other towards an eternal perspective to see God in it and remember what life is about and what's ahead. Friendship is a ministry, and there are many ministry opportunities to be a blessing, to help, to provide support and care, help and support when you need it, when you need someone to lean on. And to hear this today, please remember this as you consider this and think about this. A lot of times, I think people get in their mind that if you have an accountability relationship, it's for a purpose, it's for a time, and it's over. And it's usually centered around something wrong. It's usually centered around something that's sinful. Well, here's the, and you'll see this in people that are just starting these relationships. Well, here's the problem I want to work on. I don't read my Bible enough. Can you hold me accountable? It's usually centered around something like that, and that's just not helpful. That's not really the point at all. It's a deeper relationship in Christ. Friendship is a ministry. We're trying to help each other. And most of the time, I would say, your time together should not be about this or that sin. It should be about things that are good as well, things that are happening that God is doing. Help, encouragement, someone to lean on, someone to help you see things clearly, someone to help you remember the truth. I wrote my note this morning, not no stories. So I went over this and trying to limit the stories. But, I have a friend in my life that when I get together with him, we don't really necessarily talk about anything all that personal right away. It's just encouraging to see him. And the person just turns my thoughts to Christ, and I try to turn his thoughts to Christ when we get together. It's just a wonderful thing. We're not working on anything together per se. Maybe we're always working on something. But there's just something there. There's this commonality, like David and Jonathan, where there's this encouragement to follow Christ, and you hear how they're doing, and you help each other that way. So some goals, then, for these types of accountability. Help. Help the person, and they help you to be more like Christ. Give actual help. Give actual help. How can I help you with this? What do you want me to do? Ask those kinds of questions. Give hope. Give hope. We are running around in a broken world that is cursed by sin, that is running full steam to hell. If you don't think that your friend in Christ needs some hope, you are wrong. We desperately need some hope in this world. Well, they're a good, mature Christian. They're fine. They know the gospel. Yeah, they do. They still need hope. They need reminded of the hope that is in Christ. They need reminded of who God is. They need reminded, just like you do. Give that kind of hope. Remind each other that God is at work, and He is good to provide. Give hope. Encouragement. Sometimes you just get down. Sometimes you're just sad. Sometimes life is just hard, and you just need some encouragement. The scriptures talk about that. We get our word. We used to get the name of our counseling association from the Greek word that means to admonish. But in the same text, it says to strengthen the hands that hang down. Give encouragement. Sometimes you just need encouraged. You just need somebody to come alongside you that loves you and loves the Lord and give you a good word for the day to get your mind out of the mess of this world. It's such a negative world. And people are just running each other down, running you down, grumbling and fussing, you just need some encouragement sometimes from someone that loves you and loves Christ. And other people need that as well. Edification, that just means to build up, to teach, help each other in that way, building up, teaching, edifying, to strengthen, to build up. Uphold one another or support one another. Give those kinds of things when someone is suffering or struggling. Give them actual support. What can I do? How can I help you in this? Grow together. Help them grow. Help them think through things that they've asked you to help them think through. The goal is to be more like Christ. Things to actually do then. Get to know each other. I would say that's a big one. If you embark on a friendship like this, just take some time. Don't rush into anything, and don't think that you have to get something done or check a box. Please do not think of it as a ministry. I've learned a lot in my short time on this earth, and I think I'll know almost enough right at the minute before I die. But that's sad, isn't it? But the few things that I have learned, I've seen a lot of Christians, many actually, think of Christian ministry as a list of responsibilities, and then they think, well, I need to be a disciple maker, and so then they target somebody and they run after, I'm going to make this person my disciple. And I've seen that really turn ugly at times, and I've seen people be confused by that. I'm just trying to do what God wants me to do. Well, I don't think that's the method that God wants us to use. To see people as an object of ministry. I think what God wants us to do is see people as people. Get to know them. And see if God opens the door for some ministry and some friendship there. And we miss that huge step. This is a person. This is not a thing. This is not an object. This is not a ministry opportunity. This is a person. Get to know the person. See what if they can be your friend. See if you can help them. See if they can help you. See where God leads in that. Take some time in that. Care about them. Get to know each other. If you are both seeking this relationship together, get to know each other. Set up regular times. Once a week. I see where I'm at. Once a week may be too much. Some people need that. I would say for a normal, you're just growing together accountability relationship, it's not really a counseling relationship. Once a week is probably too much, unless you're really, I mean, it's just, if you like the friend, it doesn't hurt nothing. But probably twice, once every 2 weeks or once a month is probably enough for an actual accountability relationship where you're working on actual accountability things. But again, that's flexible. Whatever you and your partner think that you need. Discuss goals and parameters for the meetings. Things like this. What questions would you like me to ask you? And then yourself, here's what I'd like you to ask me each time we get together. Here's a question I'd like you. And see, that invites this sort of give and take. And it also lets people ask hard questions of you. If you're my friend and my accountability partner, I'm not necessarily going to ask you something that you really need to be asked. And you know that better than I do. But if you tell me to, if you invite me to, then I will, right? Because I love you. I'll help you with that. And so think about that as well. Discuss goals and parameters. What's our goal here? What are we trying to do? What's this going to look like? How often? All those kind of things. And then for yourself, pinpoint 1 to 2 areas that you would like to work on each time. And ask your accountability partner to help you with that. And it could be the same area for some, it takes time to, some of the areas that God is growing us in take a lot of time. And we see progress, and that's part of the encouragement. As you see progress in each other, give that encouragement. Man, I can't believe I'm not over this yet. Part of the hardest thing, I would say, of Christian life is maybe that one's going to be one that you struggle with much of your life. Let's grow on it. Let's work on it. Let's grow in that. Getting over it, that's sort of the mindset of the procrastinator. If I could just get past this, then I don't have to deal with it anymore, right? And God is saying, well, that's not dealing with it. Deal with it, right? Work on it. Effective accountability then has real care and concern, boldness, where you're willing to speak the truth to each other. You have to be at least a little bit bold. And that's risky, especially if you've opened yourself up and you've really become to love, come to love a friend, and then they just really need someone to shoot it straight with them. That's hard sometimes. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. It's better for us if a good friend actually cares about us enough to tell us what we need to hear than hidden love, right? Where, I don't want to make any waves. I don't want to say anything. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. It's quite a contrast there, isn't it? And it's not every time, but he's really saying here that the hidden love, the person that says nothing, is acting like an enemy. Just acting like nothing's a problem. A good friend will tell you the truth. A good friend will get in your life and in your face and say, we got to talk about this. This is not good. And so you have to be bold. You have to be at least a little bold. For some of us, we have to temper our boldness, myself included. But you just be wise about that. You do need a little boldness. You need to get outside of your American comfort zone and be willing to speak the truth that when they need to hear it. And then the second one goes along with that, or the next one goes along with that. Be willing to be corrected yourself. You have to be willing to hear correction. Be willing for this person to correct you. You know, part of the reason of having a closer relationship in Christ with a brother or sister is because you need it. And if you need it, that means that you need correction. And it's always telling to me in counseling when we have usually a relational problem, two people are together, and this person, person A, everything is person B's problem. Person B, everything is person A's problem. And I have no problem. And I'll ask, well, in this dynamic, tell me what you've done that's sinful. And I've gotten a little more bold in that with experience, because people are people, and you learn that you always have some sin in the game, right? You've heard get some skin in the game. You always have some sin in the game. You're a sinner. You're not Jesus. You've sinned in this thing. Might be 90-10, but you've done it. And it's always telling to me when someone says, well, I'm sure I've done something wrong. Well, it's probably something. And there's that spin, right? We learned that from the TV. There's that good spin. Don't admit you've done. Don't be specific. Well, yeah, I'm sure I've sinned. I'm a sinner. But let's talk about that person's sin. That's just not honest. That's a lie. And you're not willing to be helped at that point. You're not willing to be helped. Care, boldness. Strike a scoffer, and a simple will learn. Reprove a man of understanding, he will gain knowledge. Ephesians 4. Help each other so that we can no longer be carried away. Be willing to be involved. Be willing to be involved. Be willing to get dirty with them when you need to. Life is messy. Be willing to get messy with them. Be willing to be helped, as I already talked about. Be a good listener then. I think this is a really important one too. This is something that I've had to really work on, honestly. And it's really been helpful too, and just in life. It's really neat how God works, isn't it? He identifies the things and he helps you in specific areas, and it broadens out and it helps you in life. People are just not good listeners. I would venture to say that there is no one that is a good listener that has not really worked on it, has not really spent some time to work on it. And I've noticed that just in interacting with people in our community and in ministry and things, that everybody just seems to default to, you must want to hear about me. You know, say, hey, hi. And then they talk about themselves, and you say, or hey, you know what happened to me this week? Yeah, interesting. Here, let me tell you about me. People are just not good listeners. Actual listeners, actually engaged, actually thinking about what the other person said. And then it's weird, because then when we start to have relationships where we want to give counsel or something, we're not really listening, but then we're telling. Or then someone's talking, and while they're talking, you're formulating your rebuttal or the help that they need or the verse that you're going to throw at them or whatever. You've stopped listening. That's just not helpful. That's not a good accountability partner. You have to be a good listener. Spend at least half It's a 50-50 relationship. So at least half of the time, engaged in listening. You're not thinking about how to answer. You're not thinking about how to respond. But you're just really soaking it in. You can ask questions like, I'm not sure I understand what you mean by that. Could you tell me that in another way? Did you mean to say? Things like that, so that they know you're listening to them and they hear. Become a very good listener. And as a part of that, too, don't become a counselor unless you're asked to give counsel. Sometimes in life, I would say often, quite honestly, probably much more than not, people just want an ear to chew on, just someone that will actually listen to them. You don't have any idea how much value that has. We're in this world where nobody cares about anybody else but themselves, self-centered. And it is rare to find a person that will actually love you, that will actually listen to you. And that can just be refreshing. That can just renew someone's spirit, to have someone just sit there and listen to them, let them talk. You don't have to have the answer, and you just sit there and you're a good, caring, listening ear. And don't just sit there and spit out counsel. You can ask, you know, if someone's sharing something that sounds like they need help with, well, would you like me to help you with that? Would you like me to help you with that? And you know, a lot of times you get the, and they might spit around, I do need help with that or whatever. Be careful with that. Are you sure? Because I mean, what I mean is I really help you with it. Do you want me just to listen? I can just listen. That's fine. And now if someone tells you the same problem, like if they grumble about their spouse the last 8 meetings, then you might want to be a little more forceful with your question. Would you like me to help you with that? Because this is all we've talked about. I think you probably need a little help, right? And encourage them that way. But I think our tendency is, we used to call it cowboy theology, or maybe the Bayer theology, take 2 verses and call me in the morning, right? And someone's telling you their problems, and they just want you to listen. They just want you to listen to them. And you're like, oh, I got the verse for you. Boom, boom, boom. Move on. Whew. Right? And that's just not helpful. That's not what they wanted. They thought you were their friend. They thought you were there to listen to them. And yeah, sure, you can get the scriptures in, but just watch out for that mindset. If you're going to speak the scriptures to them, make sure that it's appropriate and that you've really listened, that you understand what they're talking about, and they know that. Be a good listener. Very, very important. In this thing, remind each other of 2 things in this relationship. And keep this at the forefront of your mind. I try to do this in life anyway. Of course, I don't always do it. I need to keep growing in this. But remind each other of who God is. Remind each other of who God is. Whenever you're together, keep reminding each other of the goodness and greatness of God, of the things that God has done, the wonderful works of the Lord. Keep that in front of one another. Yeah, you know, God is so good. You know what God's been doing in my life? You know what I was reading about who God is? And then remind each other of your responsibility in this world. I mean, if you could boil down life in Christ to 2 things, that's it. Who is God? What's my responsibility? Love God, love your neighbor. Who is God? How do I need to know about him? How can I love you better? What's my responsibility in this life? Remind each other of that. And that just makes it simple as you work on life together, as you grow together. That's very encouraging. Pray together as you get together. Pray together. Many people go much of their life without ever praying with another Christian. Pray together and then pray regularly for one another. I'm reminded to pray for a couple of my friends right now. Probably do that when we go home. All of this is then to be motivated by love. Remember in the Hebrews 10, stir one another up to love and good works. It has to be motivated by an actual love of them, someone that you can love when life gets hard, someone that can love you when you need help, and love which is rich enough to give, to say what's hard to say what needs to be said in the times that it's difficult. Oh, look at that. This is one of the reasons God has placed us together in the church. This is one of the reasons that we have each other. You can't go it alone. It's one of the things I've certainly learned in my own life the hard way, is that you just can't. You can't make it. You need good friends. You need people that love you. This world is an isolating world. This world is a self-centered world. You need people in your life, in the church of Jesus Christ, that care about you, that you can care about, that you can form those relationships with, that will encourage you towards growth in Christ, that will make you, remind you of who he is, that will make you more like him, and that will just give you support when life gets difficult. You know, what'll happen to us is we go through life and we sort of live this sort of semi-isolated life where we just don't let the people into our lives. You're going to face a rough spot. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, what do I do? And who do I reach out to? And all this. That's really not where you want to find yourself. You want to have a good friend, maybe even a couple, but at least one good close friend who can help you and that you can be there for, to be Christ with skin on in time when they need you as well, to grieve together, to laugh together, to share life together, to encourage and refresh one another, and to live together as vessels of God's grace and to develop wonderful friendships. Let's pray. God, thank you again for this time to think through some practical issues over a few weeks, and just a great reminder, just to me especially, I suppose, how important good friends are and how refreshing they are and how necessary it is. And God, I pray that you'd encourage us and help us as we seek these deeper relationships in Christ and as we're careful and as we get to know each other and as we let you work and grow us. We're just looking forward to the wonderful ways you're going to use us in one another's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.